This is BWLS, podcasts on wilderness medicine from the University of Utah School of Medicine.
Hello, this is Richard Ingebretson from the University of Utah School of Medicine. Thank you for listening to our BWLS podcast series. As always, we ask you to log on to www.wildmedu.org to see what other programs and other resources are available for you to learn wilderness medicine. So back in the early 1970s, new ski bindings were developed and came out onto the market. What was happening back then is ankles were snapping, the tibia was snapping, and we're getting horrible ankle injuries because of poor bindings. The new bindings basically stopped that. We don't see many ankle fractures and tibia fractures anywhere near like they did before those bindings. But the problem is ski injuries have now switched from the ankle to the knees, and we've seen an increase of up to almost 140% of increase in knee injuries. We're getting a lot of questions about how to prevent knee injuries and about the new heel release bindings that may show some promise. The injury is often called the phantom foot or the phantom foot fall that happens and injures the ACL. You kind of have to visualize this on a podcast, but it happens when the skier loses their balance backward, causing them to sit back on their rear portion of their skis with the hips below the knees with a foot planted on the ground. So there you have it. The foot is balanced on the ground. So in the attempt to balance, the skier shifts the weight off the uphill ski onto the downhill ski. This causes hyperflexion of the knee that is bound to the downhill ski. the bindings don't release, the knee experiences a great deal of force. This can actually result in both ACL and MC injuries, but the phantom footfall incidents account for about 25% of the injuries that happen. And the ACL, whether it's the phantom foot or the just falling back and twisting your knee, have really not been protected by these modern ski bindings. So we're really kind of at a loss from a mechanical standpoint is what to do. So we're, the questions that we're getting about, there is a new ski binding out there, which it sometimes is called a knee binding. It came on about 10 or 12 years ago, whose the idea behind it was to create a way that the foot could be released from the ski while protecting the ACL, specifically the ACL. The idea that is if somebody gets an ACL injury, and even though they recover, about one-fifth of those people will never ski again for a variety of reasons. So the idea with this knee binding is that they the term is coming out now called the third dimension release, meaning that the heel is free to move laterally rather than just up and down. It's called a pure lateral heel release, which basically means that instead of the heel just moving up and down, as we said, it can also move left and right sideways. The common way, as we just explained, to tear the ACL is to fall backwards while twisting your knee, usually in the phantom footfall. Bindings typically don't release because it's not an up or down motion. This leaves your foot stuck in the binding while your body is moving backwards and putting all the weight on the ACL, and then the skier feels that famous pop. The idea about the new ski binding is that by allowing the sideways motion, that when you start to twist and fall backwards, it will pop out and won't rotate far enough to cause that. There is a lot of worry about this. The biggest worry that came from the more hardened skiers saying that if they ski hard and this extra movement in the binding, will it release too early just on their own motion? And it's unclear. The people that ski these don't think to say so, but there's not a lot of data on that. So really the question really becomes is there data out there to support that the new knee bindings with their lateral release prevents ACL injuries? There really isn't. There's an almost retrospective study that was done in association with the manufacturers that did show a decrease, but the study is not well received in the scientific community just based on the way the data was collected. And so it's unclear. The best thing that can be said about the new bindings and about the studies about them is that right now at the present time, there really aren't any binding designs, settings, or function that can protect both the knee and the lower extremities from serious ligament sprains. There are really no new innovative changes in binding design that appear to have the potential to reduce the risk of these severe knee injuries. But instead, there is one study that demonstrated a means to help reduce the risk of a serious knee sprain. And this study involved education of skiers, but not ski equipment. Despite the inability of bindings to reduce the risk of severe knee injuries, there can be no doubt that improvement in skiing bindings has made the most important factor and marked reduction in incidence of lower leg and ankle injuries during the past 25 or 30 years. The International Standards Organization, ISO, and the American Society for Testing Materials, the STM, suggest that mounting, setting, and maintaining the modern state of art of the current bindings, and that you can prevent ACL injuries by keeping the muscles surrounding your knees strong and flexible with a consistent workout routine. Exercise clearly helps skiers stay in shape, improve balance, and help them to be aware of their bodies. So in the end, the best thing you can do to prevent ACL injury, specifically the one caused by the phantom footfall or falling backwards while twisting, is to make sure that you're in good physical shape when you ski, and not to ski in terrain that is above your ability. And in that way, you will do much better at preventing ACL injuries than anything we have now or that is being seen on the horizon. Well, this ends the update on ski bindings and keeping your knees safe in when you ski. And as always, we say thank you for listening.